This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Me and my arch nemesis, this mic. Saika, how are you? Alhamdulillah. All right, so welcome, everybody. All right, let's try this again. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma. Welcome back to Exploring the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we are talking about the life of the Prophet Sallam, and we're talking about it through the seerah. And so what we're doing is we're essentially going through his life in chronological order and then not adding because we don't add things to the Quran, but extrapolating the different verses as it pertains to the different events that has happened in his life. Now, the beauty of where we're at currently in the life of the Prophet ﷺ is that now we're at that point of revelation. So we're not necessarily extrapolating verses as much as we're seeing the verses in the lens of the situation that he's experiencing at that time. Just a little bit of a kind of like a little bit of a backdrop, or not even backdrop, like a little bit of a backtracking. We have that the Prophet ﷺ is at a point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him revelation. So we talked about the first revelation, and it's beautiful because, again, the first revelation is something that would have been categorized of having happened in the month of Ramadan, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Ramadan is the month of the Quran, is the month in which the Quran had been revealed, and that the Quran was revealed on this incredible day called Laylatul Qadr. And Qadr is a very interesting word because it means the day, it means decree, right? And decree has its precise measure. So Qadr also is what they use when they talk about measuring something, because it is precise, it has a weight to it, a measurement. And if one were to take off from that measurement, it's like baking. And a lot of you guys know I'm a terrible baker, right? So if you don't do exactly what is in the measurement for baking, then it won't come out as it should. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this day that the Quran is revealed in the month of Ramadan, the most blessed month of the year. Oh, we love a new alarm, guys. It's not 7 o'clock. It's 5:45. It's my accidental nap alarm. Okay, 7 o'clock one is an accidental nap too, but it's from when I snooze from the 5:45 one. there is literally a process to the madness, I'm telling you, okay? But essentially, when we talk about this Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Laylatul Qadr is the day of the time that the time of the Quran being revealed. And the beauty of this day is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He gave the world exactly what it needed at its precise time. Right? There's 600 years of no revelation. There's 600 years between the time of the Prophet and the time of Isa alayhi salam. And the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals down at that time are the words Iqra, read. Right? And this reading is not just open up a book and read what you know and marvel over the stories and then go and tell it to somebody else. It's a research. It is to understand. It is to recognize. It is to embody. It is to say that, okay, you know what? This is who my Lord is. So after you have this very epic event and moment that happens in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, Khadija radiallahu anha, the Prophet ﷺ runs home and he's very stressed and he's feeling very overwhelmed, because you can only imagine what somebody would feel after having such a weight and heavy thing revealed to them. And the Quran by no means was something that was light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله. That had the Quran been revealed on a mountain, think about, we're in Dallas, so we are not seeing mountains here, we're seeing little baby anthills. It's as close as a mountain you're going to get. But think about having traveled to like Colorado, Denver, or whatever the case may be. But even further, you know, we were in Morocco over the summer and the mountains were so, they were actually like so monumentous that I was like shaking in the car, right? So you're looking around and you're just enclosed by so much rock. There's no other way to put it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that had the Quran been revealed onto that, onto a mountain, the mountain will not just crumble, it will become dust. It will become dust. Why? Out of the weight, not of the Quran itself, of the one who revealed the Quran. Out of reverence, out of this understanding, out of this respect that it would have for Allah, it will turn itself into dust. It will humble itself into dust. So imagine the weight of revelation on the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. It is not by any means easy. It wasn't by any means something that was like, okay, you know what? I just got revelation. I'm going to go and like go about the rest of my day. It didn't happen in that way. And so some of the scholars, they say that part of that journey of the Prophet ﷺ having received revelation that very first time, you find Jibril alayhi salam holding him. And the Prophet ﷺ says, he held me so tight until I couldn't breathe anymore. And so they say the reason why the Prophet ﷺ was held that tight was not, it wasn't Jibril that caused him like the airways to close. It was the weight of revelation. It was so heavy that Jibril was taken apart of that weight for the first time. And so now the Prophet ﷺ is here and he has experienced this incredible experience that he doesn't know is incredible yet. So right now he's just very disoriented. He goes to Khadija. Khadija takes him to Waraka bin Nawfal. Waraka bin Nawfal tells, who is a monk, then tells the Prophet ﷺ that you have been visited by the angel of revelation. And so don't think that this is a curse. In fact, it is a blessing and it's one of the biggest honors that anyone can be bestowed. So now the Prophet ﷺ has time to think. You know, you ever had something really interesting happen in your life? You ever have like a really deep turn? You thought you were going to major in one thing. You thought you were going to have one job. You thought you were going to have one kid. And I don't know why I looked at you guys. Okay, because you guys are all my mom friends. Okay, but you thought you were going to have one kid. And then all of a sudden, there's a bunch of different things that are now happening where you put your life on one trajectory. And now your life is on a whole different trajectory. This is what the Prophet is facing. But he has the weight of the world quite literally on his shoulders. And so the next major event that actually occurs is actually called the pause in revelation. But it's very interesting because when you feel like you have the weight on your shoulders, you want nothing more than support. You want someone to tell you can do it, you got this. If you're a words of affirmation girly, you really want somebody to say like, we're going to get through this together, even if they're not there. You just want to hear it, right? And so when you have that responsibility, it makes it a lot easier when someone is there to encourage you and kind of give you a blueprint of what you're doing. The most complaints that employees give to their managers is, I don't have direction. And so now the Prophet ﷺ is at a pivotal moment, And he's accepting this understanding of, you know what, I'm going to be a prophet, and this is what God wants from me, and then there's no revelation. But there are three verses, there are three surahs, there are two surahs, really. We talked about one already, Surah Al-Alaq. There are two surahs that come down before the pause occurs. The first one is Surah Al-Qalam, okay, which is interesting because we're in Qalam, right? And this one is kind of interesting because the verses don't match up with what is happening to him right then and there. So it almost seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him foreshadowing, letting him know that these are the things that might happen to you, but just know that you're okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first opens up this surah by saying noon. And we're not going to go through the whole surah. We're only going to go through the verses that were revealed to him at that time. Now, noon is kind of like saying A. It's kind of like if I walked up to somebody and I said Z, right? You would say that doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't understand what I'm saying. The Arabs pride themselves on the Arabic language. And they pride themselves on being so eloquent in the language that when they would go and they would travel to like Persia and they would hear Persians say things that were more eloquent than them, they would take it and embed it in the Arabic language because there's no way you're going to be more eloquent than me. That's how they were. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send down something in the Quran that doesn't make sense. He does not send down something in the Quran that doesn't have meaning. He would never put something in the Quran that is frivolous. However, the Quran is the divine speech of God, which means that we are very limited in how much we can understand. Scholars can study the Quran for the entirety of their life. They can make it their most beautiful work of interpreting it, and they won't be exhausted. They will not even be able to reach the tiniest part of the surface of really understanding truly all of the intricacies of the Quran. But also the beauty of the Quran is how simple it is as well. That someone like myself could sit down and open the book of Allah, read it, and understand and get something from it. That means that it is divine in its nature. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts these letters or these statements in the Quran, and they're called huruf muqatta'at. These are the disjointed letters. They come together, and in our understanding, do not form a word, but in the understanding, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presentation, it means something, we just don't know what it means. But what it did to the Meccans was that when the Prophet ﷺ would come, and he would start reciting, alif, lam, mim, Alif Lam Ra, Kaf Ha Ya Ayn Sad, it would stop them in their tracks because they would try to say, you know what, I can figure it out. I can understand. I know what it's saying. And the reality was you don't. But you need to listen to what comes next. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. He swears by the pen. Now this understanding of swearing by something, you guys ever heard of what duha? Right? What duha by the dawn, what fajr by the morning break. This swearing, it is a part of Meccan Quran. The Arabs used to swear on things a lot, but they used to swear on things that just as true as it is that you have bread in front of you, what I'm saying to you next is true. So if somebody were to swear by Ramadan, just like you know for sure that Ramadan is happening right now, what I'm saying to you next is also accurate and it's also true. We don't swear on anything other than Allah because Allah is the truth. He is truth. He is haqq. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal qalam. He swears by the pen. When you go back to the first revelation and we say, ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, read in the name of your Lord who created. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. He created mankind from a cloth. Ikra wa rabbuka al-akram. Read in the name of your Lord who's the most honorable. Alladhi allama bil qalam. He is the one who taught mankind by means of the pen. So in the very second revelation, the very first revelation, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking, referencing the pen. In the second revelation to ever come down, we have Allah referencing the pen. Why? Because it was the first thing created. And it was what had written down the beginning of time to the end of time. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a different spin to it. He says, وَقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. He says, by the pen that will continue to write. It will not cease writing until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells it to stop. It will not stop writing down the events, right? Everything that's happened from the beginning of time has been written down. But you know what else is being written down? Our actions, our deeds, the things that we've done, the things that we haven't done. You know, the things that we neglected is more so what we haven't done. That is what's also being written down. We are missing our prayers. The angels on our left side are writing that down. But we're praying and we're making dua and we're doing azkar and we're being kind and we're doing all these things. And the angels on our right side are writing that down. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't think that just because everything has been written down from the beginning of time until the end of time, you don't have a role to play in this world. You absolutely have a role to play. You absolutely have responsibility. You absolutely have things that you're going to answer for before Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells the Prophet Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. You are not, in contrary to what others might think of you, you are not by any means, by any of the blessings that your Lord possess, crazy. Because that was the first thing that they would say. Oh, he used to be so sane, and now look at him. He's walking around reciting verses. He's walking around doing this. He's walking around doing that. And on one end, we're looking and we're saying, that's so extreme. But how many of us come from families that perhaps maybe we decide we wanted to be a little bit more religious? Perhaps maybe we decide we want to wear hijab. Maybe we decide we want to go to the masjid and we want to pray a little bit more. Maybe we decide we want to enroll in a program. Maybe we decide we want to just take a Quran class. It can be something as simple as deciding to sit down after prayer to do a little bit more adhkar. And what do people around you say? It may not be your immediate family. It may just be people who knew you in one way. Now they know you in a different way. And they say, what? Oh, you think you're better than us now? Or you're holier than thou? Or you used to be that person and now you're this person? Oh, this is not okay. You shouldn't be doing X, Y, and Z, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet that there's no way that you're crazy. They're going to attribute insanity to you. And they're going to do so because they don't understand your mission and your message and how much more you have to live for. But just because someone doesn't understand your journey doesn't mean you change your route. You can't do that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you on a journey, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you on a route, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a destination, it does not matter who calls you crazy along the way, you have to go. It is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to say, you know what, this is the opportunity that God has put in front of me. And I'm going to take that opportunity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. And for you, especially, specifically reserved, it is not for anyone else, there is a reward. And that reward, غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ, مَمْنُونَ means for something to be prevented. It means, and prevention typically means that there's someone or something that's coming there and prohibiting it from happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it's not only that it's never ending, but there's no one that's going to stop it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something in store for a person, it does not matter how many people hate on it. It does not matter how many people think that that person does not deserve it. It does not even matter what you think about the action that you've done. What truly matters is how that action is viewed in the eyes of Allah. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has acceptance written for you, then the reward of that acceptance is something that you can't count. Not only can you not count it, someone else can't come and stop it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet that this is something that is, you have a reward that is written for you that is only for you. And then he says to him, and then he ends it off here by telling the Prophet that you need to understand that you have this incredible way about you. You have something that has equipped you to be able to take on this mission and this message. And he tells him that you are ala khuluq al-azim. You have the best type of character. You have noble character, very great, amazing, noble character. And that is what's going to help you carry this message. You ever have somebody send you, like, say something, not you. Okay, let's take it out of here before we start thinking about people, okay? You ever seen a situation, someone is giving advice that's, like, sound. that person's not the best human. Like, they may be a little bit rude, maybe a lot of bit rude. We can deal with a little rude. A little rude, we say, okay, off day is cool. But, like, this person, everything they're saying is the opposite of what they do. How likely is a human being going to take that advice from that person? It's very unlikely. It's very unlikely. You know, a lot of the principles or techniques that people put about raising children is a lot of the techniques that you should use in how to be as a human being in life. And they say one of the biggest techniques with raising children is that your children do not do what you say, they do what you do. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam this badge of honor. And he says that, وَإِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ خُلُقِ الْعَظِيمِ, you have the most upright character. But guess what? No one knows the Prophet is a prophet right now. It is just him, Khadija, Waraka bin Nawfal, this old man who's very old, right? And in most narrations, the people within his home have not become Muslim yet. So there's no Zayd, there's no Abu Bakr. It is just him. Who's calling the Prophet crazy? Nobody. Who's telling him he's a bad person? Nobody. But sometimes the prevention is better than the cure. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before this pause in revelation, gives the Prophet sallam this, you're going to be okay, but it doesn't sound like it. He didn't tell him you got this message, but he did tell him you have the characteristics, you're equipped, you have the toolbox to be able to carry out this responsibility. The next one is getting dark outside and I'm getting scared, but we still have 20 minutes. Okay. The next revelation that comes down is actually a very interesting story. There are sometimes people will present things in a way that fulfills their own understanding or fulfills what they have in mind about potentially a situation in their own life or what they see around them. And so there's a narrative that the Prophet was beyond overwhelmed with wahi and he couldn't have it, he couldn't handle it, and so therefore he like expressed ideas that this was something that was too heavy for him to bear. But when you look at the narrations, you find that the Prophet started to long. After Surah Al-Qalam was revealed, he started to long for revelation. It didn't come for a little bit, a couple of days. He started to long for it, like, okay, when will I get the next, you know, the next verses? And the reality of it is that this is just the second time he's received revelation. He doesn't know the frequency. He doesn't know how many verses are going to come down. He doesn't know even what Quran is yet. Like, he doesn't know that it's going to be a book. He doesn't know any of this yet. And so he's kind of like anticipating the next couple of verses. Now, Waraka bin Nawfal serves as a very big guide in understanding what monotheistic faith looks like. And so he gives Khadija some pointers that if it's true, and I know it's true, that he's a prophet, he's going to have X, Y, and Z responsibilities. So the Prophet ﷺ goes back to, this is the only time that he goes back to the top of the mountain. And when he goes back to the top of this mountain, he spends his time, before he used to spend his time in seclusion, thinking about the oneness of God. Now he's sitting there, he's thinking about the weight of his responsibility. Right? He's at the top of a mountain. It's normal because he had already been there when he first got revelation. And he's thinking about the weight of this responsibility and all that it comes with. But have you ever tried to like do something that is very difficult to do without direction? But also it's not the time to go to the next step yet. So you're a little bit of an overthinker, a little bit of an overplanner. And what do you do at that moment? You just kind of scream. You just kind of say, you know what? Honestly, let's close the book, because we don't know what we're doing. And so the Prophet is at the top of this mountain and he's thinking about it, but it's not a way of I can't handle it. It's more so of we have work to do and I have things to get done. And he lets out a very heavy, deep sigh. And after he lets out this very heavy, deep sigh, he comes down from the mountain and he says, I looked in front of me. And I saw that Jibril, I looked in front of me, it was dark. I looked behind me, it was dark. I looked to the side of me, it was dark. I looked to the left, to the right of me, it was dark. And it just felt like the world was closing in. And he says, I look up. Because he's only encountered Jibril how many times now? Really, two times, but both times are a little bit difference of opinion whether or not he saw them. So as I look up, I see Jibril alayhi salam in his full form. Full form. Full form. He takes up the entirety of the horizon. You ever been in a desert before? Can you see the whole horizon in a desert? Dallas. Okay? You can see the whole horizon. Imagine he's saying, Jibril alayhi salam took up the entirety of the horizon. His wings had wings. He had 60 wings on his wings. That's what he says. He says, I ran home. And when he ran home, he then started to call to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he tells her, cover me, cover me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals, Ya ayyuhal muzammil. Oh, the one who's sitting there, who's wrapped up in a blanket. You're wrapped up. Zammiluni, zammiluni. She took a blanket, she covered him. He says, oh, the one who's wrapped up in a blanket. Qum al-layla illa qalila. Get up and pray. Pray in the night. Pray throughout the night for a little while. Nisfahu awinkus minhu qalila. Maybe a little bit less than a third of the night, you can rest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him what? Tools. He's giving him tools. This is what you need to do. Awzit alayhi wa rattilil Qur'ana tartila. Now we get the first word, Qur'an. This is what you are reciting. This is what has been revealed to you. Or pray more than that and continue to recite this wonderful gift of the Qur'an properly, tartila, properly in the prayer. Inna sanulki alayka qawlan thaqila. Because certainly, without a doubt, we have bestowed upon you a word, a statement, a force that is heavy. Allah acknowledges to the Prophet ﷺ, it's not easy. It is difficult. Inna nashiyata layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwamu qila. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is the conversation that you have with Allah at the night. And this is the spiritual exercise that you have. And you need to use this because that's what's going to help you in your day. So this is the last revelation the Prophet gets. And then there's a break. So now what is he doing? He's like, okay, I don't know what to do. For the first couple of days, it was fine. There's a difference of opinion about how long it was. But in accordance to most of the scholars and historians, they say that it was about a week, 2 weeks. But it's a long time when you're on a new project. Imagine you're starting a new project, you don't hear from your manager for like a week. It's a little bit interesting. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Prophet to do a couple of things. The first thing, the pause in revelation, was to give the Prophet some time to assimilate and to think about what had transpired. Right now you have the space. You have the tools. You have an idea of what is coming. And you also have an out. Because you can have the tools, but when you don't have an emotional release, what happens? Everything builds up. So the last thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the Prophet is an emotional release. Get up, pray in the night, and have that conversation with Allah. And this was something he took throughout his entire life, to the point where when you get later in Medina, there are people who were so impressed with the Prophet's style of praying and the Prophet's encouragement and his teaching and all these things. And they say, Ya Rasulullah, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. The Prophet says, you can pray all the prayers with me. But tahajjud, the night prayer, kum layla illa qalila, okay, that one third of the night that I sit down and I pray, that's between me and Allah. So if you join me in that prayer, just know that I'm not stopping it because that's my conversation between me and God. Companion says, I want to join. And he regretted it. Went on to narrate that the Prophet stood so long in the prayer, the companion was praying for ruku. And when the Prophet ﷺ finally went into ruku, he was praying that the Prophet ﷺ would go into sujood. And when the Prophet ﷺ went into sujood, he was praying that the rak'ah would end. After one rak'ah, he wanted it to be over. But imagine someone's coping mechanism. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Prophet ﷺ. This is where your strength is. Your strength is not in other people. Your strength is not in the people who follow you. Your strength is not in the people who support you. Your strength is not in the people who hate you. Your strength is not in your community. Your strength is in Allah. And Allah provides those people to you. That is how you're able to decipher and know who's the right person in my life. That is how you're able to know, is this the right step that I should take? Because you're putting your trust, you're anchoring yourself to Allah first and foremost. So this period goes by and the Prophet really is yearning now. And he comes and he's with Khadija and starts to get a little bit angst. And now he's starting to think, you know how when things go for a little bit longer, you know, your mom doesn't call you for a day, it's okay. 2 days, it's fine. The third day, you're kind of like, did I do something? What did I say to her the last time I talked to her? You know, you start to have these questions. Maybe the first day you don't notice. Second day, you're like, oh my God, it's even worse that I didn't notice, right? Did I do something? What's going on? You have these questions. So the Prophet ﷺ starts to have these questions. And then he does what he does because he finds comfort in Khadija. So he asks Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha to cover him again. So he says, cover me. And this time it's for comfort. Like, he's feeling sad. He's feeling like, I had this great thing, and now this great thing is not here, and I understand the weight of it, and I'm ready to do it, and all these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals to him, and this time it's like stern. And he says, Ya ayyuhal mudathir, oh, the one who covers himself. Okay? Because before it was okay. Now, we're not there anymore. Kum fa'andir, get up and warn people. Fa'andir, get up, come, get up, fa'andir, and warn people. What does that mean? It's showtime. Before, we were helping. We were easing it, softening the blow. Now, you are strong. You're ready. But you see the emotion that the Prophet had that incited that revelation coming? You know, sometimes people just throw you into the deep end and they tell you you'll be able to swim. But what happens when you're that overzealous kid that's ready to jump into the deep end? It's probably not time, but you do what? You figure it out and you flow. Prophet ﷺ is ready. That's why he's feeling this angst. I want revelation to come to me again. I want to talk to Allah again. And then he's feeling this way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, you being ready doesn't mean you go recluse. You go small. You being ready means you get up and you go out. That's what it means to be ready. You get up and you stand towards the challenge. So he tells him, kum fa'andir, warn. Usually when somebody says to warn, you have to warn someone or something. And nadhar is a warning of something that's imminent. It's a danger that is very close. It's like if someone's going to fall into a ditch, you tell them, hey, there's like a ditch right there. If someone's going to trip on something, you say, hey, you're tripping on something. Right? But there's there is an object that you point to. But here, there's no object there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just says, and warn. And that means to warn any and everyone. That is the Prophet's responsibility. Why? Because he's a messenger for the rest of humanity, and he's rahmatul alameen. He is a mercy to all of mankind. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa rabbaka fakabbir. And you need to glorify your Lord. Because people cannot be people that are mobilizing other people towards Allah without they themselves taking care of their own soul. The Prophet ﷺ had a responsibility. He did. But what is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him? Iqra, read. Pray in the night. Okay? Get up and pray in the night. And use majority of the night to pray. All of those things are individual things that pertain to him. And when you fast forward years later into the Medina period, and the Prophet enters into Medina, and he tells the people, afshu salama baynakum, greet one another, wat'imu ta'am, and feed each other, wasallu arham, and take care of your family, wasallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam tadkhulul janna bis-salam. But pray in the night while the people are sleeping. Because that is how you enter into paradise peacefully. You have a responsibility to your community, but you have a responsibility first and foremost to your soul, and that is to Allah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Yes, get up, warn, do what you have to do. But also praise your Lord. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَّهِّرْ. And with your clothing, purify. Now there's two types of purification that is talked about here. وَرُجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. And stay away from uncleanliness. There's two types. There's your area, where you at, where you're praying, make sure it's clean. But also you, your heart, make sure it's what? Clean. Because there is nothing more compromising of your heart than dealing with people. Why? Because you find yourself asking the question, am I doing this because I want this person to say that I had a great iftar? I cook really well. Am I doing this because I actually want to get good deeds? Am I doing this because I want this person to say that I recite Quran well? Am I encouraging this person to come to this class so they can think I'm religious? These are all waswasa signs that shaitan does to a person. But also when you don't have a little bit of a question about your sincerity, then sometimes your sincerity is compromised. Ibrahim alayhi salam did objectively, again, one of the things that is the most incredible action that someone could do. And that was raising the foundations of the Kaaba. And when he did it, what did he say? Rabbana taqabbal minna. Oh, our Lord, accept from us. And he did it with his son. How helpful are kids? Yeah. You bake with a kid before? I don't have kids, okay? Nieces and nephews, they just sit in the corner and they eat everything else, okay? How helpful? On a scale of 1 to 10, we'll give them like a 4. Well, a minus 3 because you have to clean up a lot of what they've already, but you want it to be cute, fun, right? So Ibrahim alayhi salam raises the foundations of the Kaaba with his son, his young son. And then he doesn't say, oh Allah, except for me. He says, Rabbana, oh our Lord, taqabbal minna, except from us. He played a role in it too. He was here. And it's the nature of the compassion, the mercy of Allah. The angels, they report back to Allah about the people who are in gatherings when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is recited. And when those angels report it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them, you're missing some people. Then they go back and they count and they say, well, these were all the people that was there. I mean, there was a guy who was walking by, but he wasn't really there to get any benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, he gets the reward too. Why? Because a God is compassionate. He's more compassionate than us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet that you have a responsibility of taking care of yourself. You have to take care of your heart. You have to purify yourself. And you cannot compromise the message. وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ. And then he tells him that do not try to be those people who wants to bite off more than they can chew. Like Allah is giving you what He's going to give you in the right dosage. وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. So be patient with your Lord. Now, it's interesting, because what does it mean to be patient with Allah? It means be patient with the decree that Allah is going to bestow upon you. There are going to be countless moments. There are going to be countless times that you're not going to be able to understand where are we going. What is the plot? I'm confused. And in that moment, a person is going to want to give up. They're going to want to say, you know what? I can't do this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, be patient because you have to know that your Lord has so much more decreed for you. That is what it means to be patient. So this was the first, this one, Ya Ayyuhal Mudathir, Surah Mudathir, was the first verse that was, first beginning of the surah, that was revealed after the pause in revelation. But the whole point of today's session, yes, it's talking about the next revelations and the pause in revelation, but to really sum up the lesson is that Allah will not put you on a journey that He has not equipped you for. Even if you don't think the equipment looks like what you need it to look like. Perhaps maybe you're looking for a certain word in that encouragement, but Allah gave you actually a house, okay? Maybe you're looking for a certain vehicle in that journey and Allah gave you a plane, because that's actually what you need. We don't know what we need for ourselves, even though we think that we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us better than we would know ourselves, even if we lived this life 100 times over. There will still be something that you have missed. And so just know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only with you on that journey, but He's providing for you on that journey. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to have a wonderful Ramadan, continue to have a wonderful Ramadan. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of our shortcomings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of our sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to gather in a gathering much better than this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to drink from the blessed hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment, that our brothers and sisters who are suffering around the world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates them of that difficulty and that hardship, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the oppressors in the way that He sees fit. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.